Turn, please, to the book of Job, the 13th chapter. Job chapter 13, page 577 in your Scofield Reference Bible. And this evening we're using the same scripture portion as was used this morning. And again, we'll read verses 6 through 15. These 10 verses we'll read responsibly. And may we stand, please, all of us standing for the reading of God's Word. Hear now my reasoning and hearken to the pleadings of my lips. Will ye speak wickedly for God and talk deceitfully for Him? Will ye accept His person? Will ye contend for God? Is it good that He should search you out? Or as one man mocketh another, do ye so mock Him? He will surely reprove you if ye do secretly accept persons. Shall not His excellency make you afraid and His dread fall upon you? Your remembrances are like unto ashes, your bodies to bodies of clay. Hold your peace, let me alone, that I may speak, and let come on me what will. Wherefore do I take my flesh and my teeth, and put my life in mine hand? Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him, but I will maintain mine own ways before him. And let's pray. And Lord, what a gracious God thou art, how good you've been to us. We thank you again and again for this wonderful church. And thank you for all those who have contributed in any measure to its excellency, to its depth, to the fact that it's long been a lighthouse upon this corner. We pray for our preacher tonight. Thank you for him. We pray that thou wouldst bless in the preaching. And if the word were preached and yet there were no hearers, it would be void. We pray that thou wouldst help concerning our hearing of the word. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm going to preach an appendix to the sermon this morning. And since numbers of you were not here this morning because of work or because of junior churches or buses and so forth, I have necessity. I'm going to have to go back and review just parts of the sermon this morning. Otherwise, we'll not have the foundation for the one this evening. Now, exactly how long to tie it in, how to tie it in, we'll sort of feel our way through. But I want to speak tonight, appendix to the sermon this morning, and I want to call it bad plus bad plus bad plus bad plus bad plus bad equals best. No, I did not say bad plus bad plus bad plus bad plus bad plus bad equals worse. No, I did not say good plus good plus good plus good plus good equals best. I said bad plus bad plus bad plus bad plus bad equals best. Now, to arrive there, I need to go back and take a little review of the sermon this morning. Father, bless our message tonight. I believe tonight we can look into the heart of this man Job and find ourselves, our real selves, our better selves. Help us as we search. Amen. Now, very carefully, would you follow just a brief review? I told you this morning about Job's misfortunes. I reminded you how that this good man, an upright man, one that eschewed evil or hated evil and feared God, I told you how that all of a sudden he lost his wealth. He was a wealthy man. He lost it. I reminded you what you already knew. He lost his children. 10 children died at the same time. All 10. I reminded you how he lost his health. I reminded you how he lost the loyalty of his wife. I reminded you of how he lost his friends. And I don't like to say that. You can't lose a friend. No way. If you are not a friend, you never were a friend. Bible says they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. Bible says a friend is born, a brother is born for adversity. There's a friend that's taken closer than a brother. And no way you can lose a friend. No way you can quit loving anybody. And so, Job lost what he thought were his friends. And then Job said, after all was gone, everything... By the way, what we do not realize is that Job had been a very respected man. He was a model man. And now he's a public spectacle. He lost the confidence of society. He was just reputation gone. And yet Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Now this morning we took an example of human relationships. Now, get this, and because we're going to tie into this in a few minutes, we're going to put a lean-to on this. We watch what a man does. I said this morning that conduct is the mouthpiece of character. I want to give you three things. Number one, we watch what a man does. And from a period of watching his conduct, we decide what he is. That's number two. First, we watch what he does. Second, we decide on his character on the basis of what he's done. Third, once we decide on his character, then we trust his future conduct because of the character we have declared him to have on the basis of his past conduct. You follow that, don't you? I used the illustration this morning of ushers. Here comes a person or some people in the church service, and some ushers escort them to their seat. Now, when they find the seat, they can say to the ushers, "You can go back to the back. We don't need you anymore. You have led us to our seat." Now, a man's conduct, man's deeds, conduct, habits, are ushers. Watching his deeds usher us to a confidence in him. I made mention this morning about Brother Colston. I have confidence in him. Now, how did I get that confidence in him? I got that confidence in him by watching him through the years. And his conduct led me to believe that he has real character. Now then, His conduct is no longer on trial with me, because I got my opinion of his character by watching his acts. And then that was settled. Now from now on, I trust his acts even if I can't understand his acts. And if he does something that is a puzzle to me, others may think he's dishonest. I will not think he's dishonest, because I think Brother Colston's an honest man. Now, how do I think Brother Colston's an honest man? Because I watched his honesty, and watching his honesty led me to believe he's honest. Now then, I believe he's honest, so I believe what he does in the future is honest. And you couldn't, if somebody told me Brother Colston had stolen some money, you couldn't make me believe it. No way. It's all settled. His deeds have convinced me of what he is. And now that I'm convinced of what he is, his future deeds, I trust completely, because his past deeds led me to decide what I think he is. I said this morning, if this isn't true, every man is always on trial. If this isn't true, we're always testing our dearest friends. I said this morning, I believe this is what friendship really is. I think friendship is arriving to the place to where you have confidence in somebody on the basis of their past behavior. And once you arrive at that place where you have confidence in them because of their past behavior, then you believe in their future behavior. I said this morning that if Brother Colston and Brother Boardway, if I have confidence in both of them. Now, if I had to choose between them, I choose the one who is the accused
I'd never choose the accuser. Never. When I have confidence in somebody, I don't listen to criticism anyhow. I don't listen to accusation, true or false. I don't listen to it. I don't live that way. But I always defend the accused. Because the devil is the accuser of the brethren. He didn't say he's the false accuser of the brethren. He's the true accuser of the brethren. What the devil tells God about you tonight is true. And I always am for the accused and oppose the accuser. Enough of that. We turn this now over to God. God has been good to me. His past has proved to me that He's good. So whatever God does in the future, I think it's right. If I can't see it's right, I think it's right. If I can't comprehend that it's right, I think it's right. If I don't understand it's right, I think it's right. If it looks wrong to me, I think it's right. Why? Because I have total confidence in my God. And that's why Job could say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I said this morning, David said, I will sing unto the Lord because he hath dealt bountifully with me. Well now, that's okay. But I like Job's better. Job said, God has not dealt bountifully with me, as far as I can tell. He took my job. He took my riches. He took my children. He took my health. He took my wife's royalty. He took my friends. And I'm in the ash heap. God has not dealt bountifully with me, as far as I can tell, but I still believe what He's doing is right. I believe God was right. Oh, did you hear that? I believe God was right in taking my riches. I believe God was right in taking my children. I believe God was right in taking my health. I believe God was right in taking my wife's loyalty. I believe God was right in my so-called friends turning on me. I believe God was right in my letting me sit here in the ash heap. Now, why did Job believe that? Because Job, up until this time, had watched God perform, and God's actions and God's conduct had earned Job's trust. And brother, once somebody earns my trust, that's it. That's it. No way. Unless I see them do it, or they said they did it, I don't believe they did it, if it's bad. Why? Because God has earned your trust. God deserves more than for you to put Him on trial every time things don't go like you think they ought to go. Now get God off the judgment seat. And get God off trial. Decide once and for all whether God's good or not. If He's not good, ditch Him. If He is good, trust Him. And that means trust Him when you think good comes, and trust Him when you think bad comes. That means trust Him when you understand what He does, and trust Him when you don't understand what He does. And so, Job is saying, though He slay me, yet will I trust Him. He's saying that I have watched God's conduct. I've seen His past. I've seen His goodness. I've seen His mercy. And I have total confidence in God. And because I have arrived in the past at this total confidence in God, then God does not have to convince me what He does is good in order for me to think it's good, because I think it's good from here on because I have decided that God is good. God's performance in the past has led me to believe that God is good. And God's performance in the future will not be tested anymore. I will believe it's good in the future because I have decided on the basis of what He's done in the past that God is good. Now, I use this morning, and with this I finish my morning sermon and start the night one. Best illustration I know in the Bible, as I said this morning, was Abraham and Isaac. God came to Abraham and said, I want your son. I won't go through the whole thing. I want your son. I want you to take your son and kill him. Now, did you get that? I want you to kill your son. What if God came to you and said, I want you to kill your boy? I want you to kill your son. Now, this is an adult son. This was not a baby boy or a little child, an adult son. And God said, I want your boy. I want you to kill him. Now, I know Abraham couldn't understand that. Abraham couldn't comprehend that. But Abraham had already decided what he thought about God. So Abraham said, okay, God, I don't understand this. I can't comprehend this. And I'm puzzled by this. But I have decided that God is good. And since I have decided that God is good, then if I've decided the fountain is good, I trust the waters that come therefrom. And so, since I've decided on what God has done in the past, that God is good. You know, I wish we'd do that to each other. I wish you would say about your friends, I've watched him and I have confidence in him, and that means because of what he has done in the past or what she has done in the past, I have decided that she is a woman of character or he's a man of character, and so I believe in that person. And if so, that means I do not think they're perfect, but I will not believe bad things I hear about them. Abraham said, I believe in God. I'm convinced that my God is a good God. Consequently, I'll do it. I'll kill my son. And Abraham didn't know about that ram caught in the thicket. He went up on Mount Moriah with an intense purpose of killing his son. That's the first part. Abraham comes to his son. He takes him 3 days' journey to a place where God told him on Moriah. Isaac looks and says, here's the altar, here's the wood, now where's the sacrifice? Now Abraham had to say, Isaac, I got something to tell you, son. I didn't tell you this before, but I got to tell you this. God has told me, take a knife, put you on the altar, and kill you as a sacrifice. Now if that had been you, especially some of you kids, you say, oh, my dad doesn't understand me. But Isaac said, I believe in my daddy. And if my daddy says God told him to kill me, God told him to kill me. And I believe in my daddy. And I believe that my daddy walks with God. And I believe that my daddy hears God speak. And I have confidence in my daddy. Now, why do I have confidence in my daddy? I have watched my daddy through these years. I came to a place where I believed in my dad, and that means from now on, I'm trusting the decisions of my dad. Now this evening, follow me carefully. This is going to be a little hard to follow. Here's Job. He's got a knife. It's called a potsherd. He's got a knife. He's got elephantiasis, a disease that caused his body to have boils on it. And those boils erupted, and the corruption of those boils are all over his body. He hurt so much. Now bear in mind this. This was the most respected man of his neighborhood. This was the richest man in the land. Now he has lost his wealth. He has lost all 10 children. His wife said, why don't you curse God and die? He's lost his health. His friends come and criticize him and tell him he's a dirty sinner. And Job is in such pain, he takes a piece of metal like a knife, goes and sits in the garbage dump of the city, and sits in the live coals of the garbage dump, because the burning of those coals against his flesh eases pain and scrapes the corruption off of his body that oozes from the boils caused by the disease of elephantiasis. Now here's what I want to say. When all of his happinesses were gone, the happiness of having what he wanted when he wanted it, the happiness of having his children with him, the happiness of Christmas, the happiness of birthdays, all gone. The happiness of family reunions, all gone. All of it's gone. The happiness of health is gone. The happiness of feeling good when you get up in the morning, it's gone. The happiness of having a job, he's unemployed, it's gone. The happiness of having camels, it's gone. Happiness of having sheep, it's gone. Happiness of having oxen, it's gone. Happiness of having donkeys, it's gone. Happiness of having a job, something to do, something to occupy, it's gone. the happiness of walking down the street in his hometown and speaking to his neighbors and say, good morning, and they say, good morning, Job, you look good today. That's gone. The happiness of respectability, it's gone. It's all gone. When there were no outward token. Hear this. Hear me now. Hear me now. When there were no outward, are you listening? When there were no outward tokens of God's love. When there was no outward way to know God's love. When there was no visible sign to even know that God cared. That bad plus bad plus bad plus bad gave him, and now this is the statement, gave Job a happiness that was built on living without all other happinesses. And I contend that when a person can sit in the garbage dump and everything has gone bad and he's lost every happiness in the world and yet can say, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, I contend that's the greatest happiness a man can do. I think the happiest moment of Job's life was when he had lost every other happiness but said, I still trust my God. There's no happiness like that. And they go a step further. When all faith is gone, and when doubts multiply, I don't understand why God took my sheep. I don't understand why God took my camels. I don't understand why God took my donkeys. I don't understand why God took my oxen. I don't understand why God took my money. I don't understand why God took my silver. I don't understand why God took my gold. I don't understand why God took my job. I don't understand why God took my boys. I don't understand why God took my girls. I don't understand why God took the faithfulness and loyalty of my wife. I don't understand why God took my health. I don't understand why I'm sitting here as a reproach and folks are laughing and making fun at me and accusing me of sin causing this. I don't understand it. I don't understand it. Doubts. A doubt. Give me now. Doubt plus doubt plus doubt plus doubt plus doubt equals the greatest faith on the face of the earth. Brother, when you can say, I don't see why God took this, I don't see why God sent this, I don't see why everything, humanly speaking, has gone wrong, but I trust my God. That's the greatest faith in all the world. Congratulations, if things are going bad, you have a chance to have the greatest faith there is. You have the chance to have the greatest happiness there is. Sadness plus sadness plus sadness plus sadness plus sadness. Say like Job said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You throw that, brother, in the middle of all the sadnesses in the world, and you not only will be happy, you'll have the greatest happiness in all the world. When you can sit on the bottom and look at 10 graves. Now you... Listen, Job was human like we are. You can sit down on the bottom and look at 10 tombstones. And remember. And look at the land you once had. And remember. And remember Christmas time when the presents were open. And remember the children's birthdays. And remember their first day in school. And remember the joys of those children. And you look at those little graves and those tombstones and you say, I can't understand that. And you look at your body as it's racked by pain and disease and you sit there in the city dump scraping your body with a piece of metal and you can't understand and you doubt this and you doubt this and you doubt this and you doubt this and you doubt this. But you look up and say, I made up my mind years ago what God was like. And I trust him, and though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You, ladies and gentlemen, have the greatest faith known to mankind. Anybody can have faith when the kids are well. Anybody can have faith when they're employed. Anybody can have faith when you've got gold and silver. Anybody can have faith when things are going well. Anybody can have faith when you're respected. Anybody can have faith when your body is strong. Anybody can.
The greatest faith known to mankind is that faith that can't see its hand in front of it. And that faith that says, I doubt this, but though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I doubt this, but though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And I doubt this, but though he slay me, yet will I trust him. In fact, there's nothing in my life I don't doubt now, but there's one thing I don't doubt, and that is the goodness of my God. That's the greatest faith you can have. Let's go from happiness. The greatest happiness is composed, hear me now, the greatest happiness is composed of bundling up all the sadnesses together and still believing God. The greatest faith is composed of bundling up all the doubts together and tying a faith in God in spite of the doubts you have. That's the greatest faith. Now let's look at fear. Job knew he was under attack. He lost all of his riches. And then there was a fear. Let me ask you a question. Are there folks tonight in this room who've had so many things happen to you that are negative in recent months or years that you wait for the next bomb to drop? All of us have been through that. If you're an adult, you've been an adult very long, you've been there. It just seems like that something happens that pulls the props out from under you, and something else happens that breaks your heart, and something else happens that breaks your heart. The truth is, you almost, every time the phone rings, you wonder what it is now. What is it now? And Job became fearful. Brother, when you're afraid and 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 afraid, and yet you look to God and say, God, I have decided already that you're good. And though you slay me, yet will I trust you. You tie that on to all a life totally composed of fears, and you still believe in God, that is the greatest courage known to mankind. I was a paratrooper. We had a guy in our outfit that jumped every time anybody jumped. He was jump happy. Now, brother, I didn't. We had to jump once every 3 months to get $50 a month of jump pay, and I jumped once every 3 months. I didn't jump once every 89 days. I jumped once every 90 days. I never jumped. I was kicked out 19 times. But I'll be honest with you, I just never did. I was like that fella. They told us. They said, look, if your main chute opens, good. If it doesn't open, you got a reserve chute. Pull it, and it'll open. If it doesn't open, little red truck down there to haul you off. We had a Polish paratrooper. He jumped. Main chute didn't open. Pulled his reserve. It didn't open. He said, nothing's working out. Now he said, I bet you a quarter. That little red truck's not even down there when I get there. But I want to tell you something. This jump happy guy, he just said, Geronimo! Woo! Folks said, boy, he is really courageous. No, he's not. He's stupid. I was the courageous one, Buster. I mean, every time I jumped, I grabbed my microphone on the side. My PA man to wake up. I grab a microphone. Every time I jump, I looked out, never down. Put my left foot there just at the edge, hands on the side like that. Look toward the horizon. The sergeant said, count off. 18 of us on the plane. That meant that M18 had checked the parachute of number 17. Number 17 had checked the parachute of number 16. All the way to number 2 checked the parachute of number 1. I was number 1. And the sergeant went back and checked the parachute on the back of number 18.
And they put me in the door. And they said, is everybody happy? Now, folks, that's not really a good question to ask. There you are, 1,200 feet in the ground. Nothing on your back but a skirt folded up. All the steps broken between you and the ground but one. Sergeant said, you about to jump out. And the sergeant asked, is everybody happy? The stupidity of the question was only exceeded by the stupidity of the answer. Yes! But I never said yes. No way, Jose. I never said yes. And I'll be honest with you. Somebody said, how many of your jumps were night jumps? All of them are night jumps. My eyes were shut tightly every time I jumped. I mean that, brother. I mean it. I never was one of those Geronimo fellas. Never did, boy. I died when I jumped. That's courage. Listen, Buster, the scarier you are, and you go ahead and do it anyhow, means you've got more courage. What is the greatest happiness in all the world? It is a life that is totally unhappy. Every avenue of happiness has been closed. Every avenue of joy has been blocked. In every area of one's life, the happiness has been gone, taken, and you take all those unhappinesses and put them in one big bundle, and yet you look to God holding all these unhappinesses in your arms and say, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Ladies and gentlemen, until you've been there and trusted God and looked up and put your trust in Him, and that wonderful feeling of ecstasy and joy has filled your soul because you say, I don't understand you, but you're my God. You don't know what real happiness is yet. You've taken all the doubts and all of your life has become one doubt after the other. And you take all of those doubts and everything about your life is one great big doubt. And you bundle all of those doubts up in one great big bundle and tie them up with the string of saying, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. You've not, until you've known enough doubts to where you don't know why anything's happening in your life, and you say, I trust him. You don't know what real faith is yet. And you don't know what real courage is, brother. Until you faced the fears of life. And every bit of life is fearful. And you're afraid to wake up in the morning, but you get up and you say, dear God, I'm scared to death to face the day. But I trust you. And I love you. And whatever you do to me, I believe it's best. Because I've watched your manner and your behavior through the years, and your conduct has proved to me with the conduct of the past that you're God and you're good, and I have total confidence in you, God. And so if my babies are taken, I believe it's for the best. If my health is taken, I believe it's for the best. I'm afraid to go through it. I dread tomorrow. I'm afraid to face my enemies. I'm afraid to walk down the street. I'm afraid I'll die. But I love you, God, and you're my God. That's what courage is. Then, when your works are gone, you were in the midst of it, and suddenly He snatched it out of your hands, and idleness is imposed upon you, and you live in seeming uselessness, and you lie on beds of affliction with your memories of work you used to do. I've said this before, and I say it again, I say it often. I only have one fear in life, one great fear. And that's the fear that perhaps I'll lose my health. And I know I ought to have more faith in this, but I have a fear that someday I'll have a stroke or something, and I'll have to sit in a wheelchair at the altar and look up here and see another do my work and fill my pulpit, and I'll be honest with you, I just cringe when I think of that. But if and when the day comes, to where you cannot do your work anymore, and you lie on beds of affliction, and your activity has become inactive, and you have no work to do, and you look up to God and say, dear God,
though you slay me, yet will I trust you. Then you have done the greatest work of all. I said, unhappiness plus unhappiness, plus unhappiness, plus unhappiness, plus unhappiness, plus though he slay me, yet will I trust him, equals the greatest happiness in the world. I said, doubt, plus doubt, plus doubt, plus doubt, plus doubt, plus though he slay me, yet will I trust him, equals the greatest assurance in the world. I said, fear, plus fear, plus fear, plus fear, plus fear, plus fear, plus though he slay me, yet will I trust him, equals the greatest assurance. I said, when your work is finished, can you imagine it? Job can no longer walk his farms and look at the crops. Job can no longer go out and feed his cattle. Job can no longer go to the marketplace and sell his animals. Job's out of business. His work is gone. I hope the day I can't preach, I'll go to heaven. I hope when the day comes, if it ever comes. In fact, I appreciate it. If I have a stroke and can't preach, first guy can shoot me, I'd appreciate it. Don't you dare. I'm like that Chinese kamikaze pilot whose name was Chow Mein. They said, if you're a kamikaze pilot, why are you still alive? He said, my name is Chicken Chow Mein. The greatest happiness of all is when you have no happiness except the happiness of knowing you trust God without another happiness. The greatest faith of all is when you have no faith at all and all doubts except you have one faith, you trust God, that what He does is best. That's the greatest faith of all. What is the greatest courage of all? When you have no courage whatsoever, nothing but fears. You take all of your fears and look to God and say, I trust you anyway, dear God. That's the greatest courage of all. What's the greatest work of all? The greatest work of all is when you have no work to do and all of your work's been taken from you. Look up to God and say, you know what's best. Years ago, where I grew up, we had a lady there named Mother Pollard, our neighborhood. Good night. It's been 45 years. Mother Pollard was the most beloved lady in our church. Mother Pollard never came to church. Mother Pollard never would taught a Sunday school class. Mother Pollard was an invalid. All of Mother Pollard's work had been taken away from her, and everything she'd ever done had been taken away, and Mother Pollard lay on the bed of affliction, unable to move. Brother, young and old alike, went to Mother Pollard's place. And you never went to see Mother Pollard without seeing Mother Pollard happy and sometimes shouting. And do you know Mother Pollard's work, though she had lost her work, was the greatest work of anybody in that church. Because she had lost her work and looked up to God and said, though you slay me, yet will I trust you. And brother, that added on to inactivity becomes the greatest work in the world. And that added on to unhappiness becomes the greatest happiness in the world. And that added on to doubt becomes the greatest faith in the world. And that added on to fear becomes the greatest courage in the world. When all seems to bring defeat, you lose on every front. Every battle leaves you on the losing side. And yet you believe that God is good. You've won the greatest victory of all. I'm saying, unhappiness plus unhappiness plus unhappiness plus unhappiness plus unhappiness plus though he slay me, yet will I trust him, equals the greatest happiness. I'm saying, doubt plus doubt plus doubt plus doubt plus doubt plus doubt plus though he slay me, yet will I trust him, brings the greatest faith. I'm saying, fear plus 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 though he slay me, yet will I trust him, brings the greatest courage. I'm saying, idleness, forced idleness, plus 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 though he slay me, yet will I trust him, equals the greatest work. And defeat plus defeat plus defeat plus defeat plus defeat plus defeat plus defeat. Plus, though he slay me, yet will I trust him, brings the greatest victory. You'll never know a victory like that victory that you have when everything's gone bad, but you still trust God to do what's right. And you trust God that He is doing what's right if you can't see it's right. Nothing but sorrows plus faith in Him equals the greatest joy. Nothing but fears plus faith in Him equals the greatest courage. Nothing but defeats plus faith in Him equals the greatest victory. Nothing but idleness plus Him plus faith equals the greatest work. Nothing but darkness plus faith equals the greatest light. Nothing but blindness plus faith equals the greatest sight. Nothing but doubts plus faith equals the greatest peace. And nothing but puzzles plus faith equals the greatest love. And if nothing's gone right with you lately, as men count right, congratulations. You're qualified to have the greatest happiness in the world. Have you ever done right and nobody else did it? Have you ever stood alone by yourself and nobody else understood why you stood? And you had not one friend in the world who understood why you were doing it. But you knew you're right. And I mean, you knew you were doing that which was right. You've not known real joy till you stand alone outside the gate, and only then will you hear the voice which bears nail-scarred hands. And you look up and you say, Jesus, when did you come out here? And Jesus said, I never came. I've been here all along. My name is John. I cannot understand this island. I cannot understand why I have no pastorate. I cannot understand why I'm exiled alone on this barren island. I cannot understand it. But I know there's a reason. Because I have confidence in my God to do right. My name is Paul. I can even now hear the footprints of the soldiers coming. I can hear the sharpening of the guillotine just outside the cell right next to the river. I can feel the dampness of the jail. My eyes are almost blind and I'm 500 miles from anybody that knows me much. But I'm extremely happy. Because I know there's a reason. My name is Job. I've lost my children, my wife, my friends, my health. I've lost my riches. I've lost everything. But I know there's a reason. My name is Isaac. I'm about to die. My father's going to take a knife and kill me. But I trust in God. And Daddy, I know there's a reason. My name is John the Baptist. Soon my head will be on that platter right there. I don't understand it. I can't comprehend it. But I settled it a long time ago that I believe God does good. And if my head's on that platter in a few minutes, I believe it's best for my head to be on that platter in a few minutes. My name is Joseph. I'm in jail. I didn't do anything wrong. I was tricked. Tricked by a wicked woman. Tricked! I'm in jail! I don't understand it! But I've decided that God is good. And I believe it's best for me to be in jail. My name is Sikma. I have a son named Greg. In the prime years of his youth, who suddenly has a disease. That may or may not take his life. But I've got it settled. My God is good. And whether by life or by death, I believe God knows what's best. My name is Greg Sikma. I lay in bed day after day. I wonder if I'll ever become 30. I wonder if I'll ever be able to have a normal life. I have a disease that may be terminal. I can't understand it. But I believe that God is good. makes no mistakes. And I trust him. My name is Depper. I have a little boy that's as cute as can be. Doesn't have control of his head real well, or his bodily functions real well. He has a disease that may keep him from ever being a normal child. And I don't understand why it's our boy. But I decided a long time ago that God is good. And I trust him. My name is Huckins. I have a little boy whose little body was buried beneath the sod. He had a right to live as far as I could tell. I have another boy that has a serious illness that may or may not live a normal lifespan. He suffers like few young men his age suffer. I don't understand it. But I decided a long time ago that God was good. And I trust him. My name is Smith. I'm crippled. I work at Howells Anderson College. When I walk down the street, folks that don't know me think I'm just another spastic. I never had the normal life that others have had, or the normal childhood. I don't understand it. But I believe God is good. And I trust him. My name is Colston. My name is Lively. My name is Bullard. My name is Jorgensen. My name is Eau Claire. My name is Sisson. My name is Fernandez. My name is McKinney. My name is Boardway. My name is Hiles. And I can't understand all about life. And I can't understand the workings of God. A long time ago, we settled it. God is good. And he's proved his goodness. He's not on trial anymore. And though he slay me, yet will I trust him. And in that faith, if all of life is unhappy, I have the greatest happiness in the world. And if I doubt everything in my life but have that, I have the greatest faith in the world. And if I fear everything in life but have that, I have the greatest courage in the world. If all of my work is stripped from me but I have that, I have the greatest work in the world. You know why? Because I have the greatest Savior in the world. There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its worth. It sounds like music in my ear. The sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Sing it. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first. Twice today I stood behind this pulpit on representing God, in defense of God, reminding you that God needs no defense, asking you to take God off the judgment seat and take him off trial and decide once and for all that God is good. And once you've decided that God is good, once his conduct has proved his goodness, then his character can cause you to trust his future conduct. Our Heavenly Father, I do not think I've done a good job today, as good a job as I want to, of explaining how I feel. I wish I had the tongues of men and of angels.
wish I had a mind that was clearer, a vocabulary that was greater, a comprehension and discernment that was deeper. Because what I feel today, I find myself unable to totally express. Please take what I've tried to say and by the Holy Spirit convey to the people the great truths I've wanted to relay to them. And dear God, help us to take you off trial. You proved yourself. No need to doubt you anymore. Our heads are bowed.